ladies first, ladies.
Please.
Hello, everyone. Good to be with you. My name is Rhea Kim.
And the one and only Nick Black.
All right, Nick and Rhea. Hi, how are you both?
Doing fabulous, except for the voice going, but that's okay.
Your voice might be going. We're here up in New York, and I believe you are all... You all, I don't know why I'm saying that, but it sounds Southern to me. this New Yorker has turned Southern, I don't know why. Mainly because I believe you both are living in Atlanta. Is that right now?
Primarily, yes.
Primarily Atlanta. And the interesting aspect in that regard is that I met both of you, this is Paul Slackus and Good News Planet, at the Millennial 2020 conference.
Yes.
And we're including this amongst the wonderful people that were at the event. And you had an Atlanta contingent of 7,000 to 3,000 people. I'm not sure how many. But it seemed like you had quite a few because you were really a friendly group. And actually, you took me in like a family, and I thank you for that. So tell us a little bit about your backgrounds. Why did you come to the Millennial 2020 event, and how are you feeling now?
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. So, all right, I'll get started there, right? My background is actually IT, so information technology, if some of you guys aren't familiar with the actual definition of that. And I mainly handle four core areas for businesses, support, security, and then also connectivity, and what's the last one, cloud, yes. So that's my background, but the reason why we actually came to Millennial 2020 is because of the lovely Miss Rhea Kim over here. She said, hey, we want to check out this event and see what it's all about. So I'll let Rhea dive a little bit more into that.
Well, thank you for that introduction. That just kind of put me right in the zone. So, I have a background in entertainment law, so by the first hat I wear is an entertainment attorney, and I've been searching for a really long time how I can bridge this these different clouds, I'll use that IT lingo, I'm trying to learn here, the world of entertainment and creatives and the lifestyle of being healthy and holistic and being global and kind of redefining entrepreneurship and education. So it's an initiative that I have been kind of been marinating on and have just shared that vision with other, what I call the modern time millennial GQ heroes and sheroes. So upon doing some research, we found out about this conference and thought it would be really great for us to all come together as a group. So that's exactly what we did. And walking down Fifth Avenue and 36th Street, I'm originally from the NYC, so I always talk about the people effect of peaches and apples. I had a little bit of a Asian Julia Roberts moment from the Ocean's Eleven. So it was really good time. It was a fabulous time.
All right, and so what did we learn from this event?
Oh wow, what did we learn?
I learned how to wobble dance from you.
And Cupid Shuffle, right? Right.
Yeah, you know, you had stuff. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was.
It's known as the MJ of the IT world, and I wasn't sure, like, I had to ask him, Mom, does that stand for Michael Jackson or Michael Jordan? He's like, well, it depends. Like, that's such a legal answer, right? But last night was clearly the Michael Jackson. Last night
definitely. Was Michael
so that was the party after a lot yes. of wise people talking about
yes.
how to market. In fact, it mm-hmm. seemed to me, since I maybe make up two millennials for me, but I'm not sure, because I think that's what sort of kind of came out of that we weren't really sure what a millennial was even.
I would say that what we learned from the event was exactly how marketers are wanting to reach millennials and kind of their thought processes on exactly what that looks like. But what I found as a millennial is that the one thing that wasn't said across the board is, why are we putting millennials into a box instead of looking at millennials as a whole and seeing that they're actually in different boxes across the board? And really breaking that stereotype, because the moment we take everybody out of that box, then we can look at millennials in individual constructs and realize that we're actually much larger, much more different and unique as individuals across the board than the stereotypes that we normally see as being lazy
right.
and unproductive
yeah.
and stuff like that. Those people exist, just like there's always a bad apple in the bunch, but there are a lot of millennials like ourselves and like yourself, you know, millennial minded as well, that you know, we don't really fit into that mold, and we would have liked to see something that kind of showed us as well. I think that would have been great.
That's interesting, because I don't have that, what the couple words you just said about millennials, I'm not even close to thinking that. I think the millennials, the most difficult thing for the millennial age is paying back their student loans.
No, that is true. Yes. That is, if you went to college, if you were wise, yeah, to accumulate the loans, because some of us didn't, and it's no longer such a bad thing, contingent upon the circumstances and what the goal is, it may actually be not such a bad idea to not go to college. And that sounds taboo, and of course it sounds contradictory, you know, coming from someone with a Juris Doctorate degree, but it's a fact, the world is changing.
Now, you're a motivational speaker, and you speak on millennial concepts. You always talk about millennials and women, I believe, and other areas. What's that all about?
Well, so, I like to say I'm a transformative speaker, because I think being motivated is kind of more based on a concept of a moment, whereas being being transformed is more of a journey and a movement. So, you know, the thing is, whether it's music, whether it's a TV show or a film, whether it's just having a conversation with a stranger on a subway, whatever it may be, we like to, it's just human nature, we like to feel good, we like to be uplifted. And I think there's nothing wrong with just having a little bit of that juice come into our lives to just say, hey, you know, I kind of feel your pain. It's not that bad. Sometimes we fall, but we can get back up. It just really like a life coaching kind of a pep talk. So when I give my talks, I speak in various platforms with the American Bar Association's International Entertainment Legal, sports, TV, film. I've spoken there second time. I'll be going back there third time speaking. But that is a legal talk, and it's not motivational or transformational per se. But the way that I have my discussions, for me it is, because I really focus on talking about social media, all the legal issues that comes up, the ownership rights. A webinar that I was on was talking about the view from the 1700 Pennsylvania Avenue, and we really talked about the presidential campaign, what that means for millennials, how that's an empowerment thing. So it's legal, but it doesn't have to be dry. We can still have a transformative, empowering conversation. I also will be speaking actually on Monday, going back to Georgia, at the Georgia State Capitol, talking about, let's continue this conversation. We started with the Women's March. Let it not be a moment, let it be a journey. So sisters at a global level, how can we come together, raise our voices, and what are the actual tangible action steps that we can take? So that ends up being a transformational journey and a movement, and not just based in a moment. I've spoken with the Atlanta City Council last year with the restaurant industry, and that was talking about food industry and lifestyle coming from a different angle. My family owns a couple of international farmers market locations, and growing up, I come from a very humble background. I didn't always have a lot of food, a lot of heat, and all these things. So we launched a campaign called Eat Fresh, Be Fresh, connecting the four C's of cuisine, culture, connection, and celebration, and not making it into a charity kind of a thing. Not that there's anything wrong with charity, but I think from our society, we always kind of think of, you know, hey, help me out. This is a great cause to just be an excuse to ask for handouts, or to just kind of bring in this like energy that's kind of like depressing. And we really believe in celebrating the energy. So those are a couple of different platforms that I speak on. It all comes back to being a millennial. And I think Nick said it really well. And I want to quote a professor. He says, don't call me by, okay. So Ron, he's such a millennial. I think chronologically by age, I don't know, but he's probably somewhere between 60 and 70 years old. But to me, he's a millennial, and I will quote him. He teaches on wine and spirits, and I think he teaches some business classes, teaching both undergrads and MBA at Columbia. And we met him yesterday, actually. Yeah. Yeah. We were sitting on a panel, and I'm sorry, it ends up being a story, but that's, millennials, we tend to be like that. Like we, you know, like Cedric said, what had happened was, so I'm gonna go there. We were sitting, it was several more of us, actually a lot of them flew out from the team, but Nick and I are here and we have two other, one are now in Long Island, others flew out, but we were in this panel just kind of like listening, and I saw Ron, Professor Capone, on a cane walking into this panel discussion, and there was no one else in the crowd that looked like him, like in terms of his age. I mean, his hair was gray and white. It was more like white, I think. And he came in on a cane, but he came and then he even like got up and like took pictures of the panel. And he came and then he was trying to go to the second location to go to the second panel discussion. So I had to stop him because it's like, you know, it's M2020, it's a millennial conference. So I asked him, hey, like, what made you come to this event? Like, how do you really feel about millennials? And he said, to me, being a millennial is not a chronological thing. It's not a number. It's about how I feel. And I was like, that's like that hotline that Jay-Z drops sometimes. And you're like, ooh, rewind. Let me hear that back. Run that back again. So I was like, wait, say that one more time. Do you mind if we get a video of it? And he's like, no, that's cool. Although he did say, don't take no pictures of me, like with my cane, because that makes me feel old. Yeah. So he took his cane off and he got up and he like stroked his pose and we all took pictures together. So yeah, being a millennial is all about how we feel.
There you go, a lot of good news. Two last quick questions already. Nick, I'll start with you. So our show is Good News Planet, and we're focused on that life-affirming concept. So I ask everybody, what is good news for them, either personally or professionally?
Oh, good news for me. Whew. Golly. Good news for me is meeting good people. That's good news. That is good news.
All right.
Because good people are hard to come by.
All right. Sounds cool, Raya?
I'm trying to be a little more original so that I don't say the same thing that Nick said, but I have to agree with Nick. To me, a great, fabulous, like uplifting good news is forming new friendships with people whose heart is aligned with my heart, who share similar visions. And I think that surpasses ethnicity, differences in our ethnic background, our cultural background, our racial background, or our generational background. So, Paul, we became friends last night, or as we would say, I think now we're a little tight. So I'm looking forward to coming back to the summertime to get some good homemade barbecue at your house. And that was a surprise. I woke up in the morning and like we did our strategy session and we talked and we didn't know we were gonna be friends with you, but we did, and we made so many more authentic friendships, and that is where the value is, and just learning stories of each individual's journey and having those moments where like, wow, that's so cool. Or being like, I know I just met you, but I feel you, like, I know what it is you're talking about.
This is beautiful. Actually, it goes along with my last question, because we're involved with the International Day of Peace. And I've asked thousands of people, what does peace mean to them? International Day of Peace is September 21st, 193 countries agreed to acknowledge it, part of the United Nations, and we are doing all kinds of events, working with schools and so on and so forth worldwide. So, Nick, what does peace mean to you?
Oh, wow, peace. That is, I think it's multifaceted in the sense of it's a collective of many things and not just one. So I think for me, peace is being in that zone, that zen, in the spiritual sense, in the physical sense, and then also health, wellness, body, and all of that, and tying all of that together with relationships and everything else, that is true peace. And once you have the perfect aligning of all of those, I think that's true peace. And I think if everybody would focus on those areas and just help one another and really care less about themselves and care more about others, I think that's when we'd achieve true peace.
Beautiful. Thank you. Raya?
I'm probably going to give a very yogi answer. I teach yoga once a week at Coca-Cola headquarters, and I always start my class with a little bit of a saying, and peace in Sanskrit is shanti. So to me, peace is acknowledging and really being conscious fully of where I am, and it does start within me, where I am. And knowing where I'm going and seeing the gap of here right now to where I want to be, and not feeling anxious or regretful in that space, but understanding, like my favorite MLK saying, Martin Luther King said, you don't have to always see the entire staircase. It's about taking a step at a time and knowing, hey, like, I may be crawling now, I may be walking now, I may have taken one or two steps now, but it's just gonna go up and I'm okay completely being where I am because I have full trust in knowing where I'm going. And also understanding that I'm not alone in my journey because I'm surrounded by other dream leaders, other heroes, other sheroes. Nick is one of my dream leaders and my heroes. So that gives me peace knowing I have someone who has my back. The entire team who attended the conference to me are my earthly angels, my cheerleaders, people that believe we have shared goals and we know where we are, we know where we are headed, but it's like, we see it and we feel it, and we know that in order to get there, we're gonna take care of our health. In order to get there, we're gonna pray together. And we actually started our morning strategy sessions with our group prayer. We did that, and just feeling calm about it. And actually, right before we got here, I brought the team, some of us, to one of my older, my former clients. I used to be a personal trainer at Equinox, 19th and Broadway, many years ago, Equinox team. And one of my favorite clients is, again, millennial-minded. He's a partner at Brooklyn Brothers. It's an advertising marketing company. And I still don't know. His name is Steven. I don't know how old Steven is. By age, I would give him maybe late 40s, early 50s.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
But he is as millennial as you get. He's like the hip, sexy dad who loves his wife and his daughter. But he's such a creative. It's like in his office, you see every, like, it just, you feel like you're in Silicon Valley. It's
amazing. All the employees are really calm, easygoing. I met Steven. He literally rolled up on a hoverboard. Man, I mean, that's how much of a millennial this guy is. It was great.
Yeah, and on that wall said, keep calm, be fired up. And I looked at Nick and I was like, that's us. Because it like doesn't make sense, because when you think like peace, you think Shanti, and the Zen and the Tai Chi, yes, but we can be calm knowing where we are and where we're going, but we can still be really fired up because we're so excited about it collectively as a group. And to me, that gives me peace. And I know it's a long answer, but the World Peace Day is coming up, and yes, we can have a moment of silence, but why not celebrate it? Like, why can't we party it up in a holistically empowering way that serves the world all, you know, together in unison, so.
Wow. Okay. That was beautiful. It wasn't a wasted word or a pranayama, a wasted piece of breath. All right. So Om Shanti Om. And
yes.
Thank you both very much. This is a wonderful, you two are very super people, very special, actually.
Paul.
We just met, and I feel like I know you for at least a millennial period of time. Okay. In one day.
Brother.
It was really cool. All right. Thank you so much for sharing good news.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Brother.